Garrett Edelstein here, your celeb expert and your celeb savant. Celeb Savant is a weekly entertainment show. We have long-form career retrospective type interviews with celebrities, singers, actors, and industry experts. Tours are a dynamic trio hailing from Devon, UK. Known for their catchy hooks, emotive lyrics, and angelic harmonies, the three-piece consisting of brothers Matt and Theo Whedon and friend Jack Bowden started gaining momentum in the indie pop space at the start of 2023 when sharing a cappella snippets of their song Anything Can Happen on socials. The track had multiple huge viral moments and took tours following to over 200,000 on Instagram and 150,000 on TikTok in just 6 weeks. In January 2023, they released an EP with Anything Can Happen as the title track, which saw editorial playlist support from Spotify and breached the top 100 in the German airplay charts. Their most recent release, Amsterdam, was recently selected as Radio 1 Tune of the Week. Self-proclaimed touring veterans, tours have hit the road with some of the biggest artists in the UK, including Tom Walker, John Newman, Walking on Cars, Picture This, Ex-Ambassadors, and Duncan Lawrence. Their proficiency in warming up crowds secured them as a main support on Sam Ryder's recent sold-out UK headline tour, where they played to over 30,000 fans in 2 weeks, the success of which led to their own sold-out UK headline tour in the summer of 2023. Tours have also found success as songwriters for other artists, with cuts for Dean Lewis and Declan J. Donovan under their belts, and have garnered over 500 million streams on Spotify. A big part of brothers Matt and Theo Whedon's inspiration to form a band comes from the example set by their grandfather and legendary guitarist OBE Burt Whedon, whose Play in the Day tutorial book inspired countless legendary names to learn the guitar, including John Lennon, Brian May, Eric Clapton, and more. Up next on Celebs Fund, we've got Matt Whedon from Tours. How are you doing? Where do we find you in the world? And what's happening in your life?
I'm doing very good, thank you. I'm currently in the West Country in England. So I'm in this little beautiful county called Devon. Mm-hmm. I'm in the middle of the countryside, which is unbelievable. And we are currently rehearsing because we've got a little secret show coming up in New York. So we're about to fly. We're off for a little trip, which is very exciting.
So what do you mean by a secret? It's sort of like a pop-up?
It is, man. It's a very small, it's a invite only. So we've just sort of hinted to some fans that we're doing a show. Mm. We're out there to go and do some recording, basically, but we wanted to take the opportunity to play for some fans. And so we did a little sign-up thing. And yeah, I mean, we sold out, I think, a minute, like people signed up and we were like crazy. We didn't know we had any fans in New York. So it's really exciting.
Oh, that's super cool. Okay. Okay, so now let's rewind. First of all, where does the name Tours come from?
So Tours, like where we're from in Devon, there's this beautiful national park called Dartmoor, which is like we used to go there as kids because we're brothers. We used to hang out there and play. And there's these giant rocks called Tours that we used to climb up and hang out and have beers at. So we just kind of were like, you know, we want to pay homage to where we're from and the place we love. And Tours just seemed to stick when we started saying the name to people. They're like, oh, that's kind of cool. It's slightly weird, but we like it. So yeah, it's just been Tours ever since.
Okay, cool. Now let's rewind. At what age did you realize, cool, you want to be in the entertainment world, entertainment industry, music industry? Let's find out yours and the band's musical journey.
Wow, man. I mean, it's sort of different for all of us, but I think we all grew up loving music massively. Theo and I, who he's lead guitarist, I'm the singer, we're brothers. And so growing up, we were very fortunate. Our granddad was a very famous guitarist in the 50s and 60s called Burt Whedon. And he basically was the first guitarist ever to have a number one song in the charts, number one albums. He wrote this book called Play in a Day, which basically taught, I mean, everyone learned from this book because it was the first book of its kind. So like Brian May from Queen, all the Beatles used it, Eric Clapton. So we used to like go to our granddad's house when we were kids and these rock stars would be hanging out there having a cup of tea. And we didn't understand at the time, but obviously as we got older, we're like, this is crazy. And then, you know, I think it kind of, when we were like 16, I was having guitar like lessons just because I was following in my granddad's footsteps, trying to be a guitarist. But I think my music teacher said to me, like, you know, why don't you try writing a song for once? And I was like, well, I don't know what to write about. And he was like, well, what's going on? I was like, well, there's a girl that I really like. And he was like, there you go, write a song about it. And I did. And I showed the girl and it worked. And I think I got hooked after that, man. Like, it was like, whoa, what the power of music. And then, yeah, we've kind of been on this mad journey as tours. Theo and I were songwriters. We started writing songs for other people because we weren't performing for a bit. We were kind of scared to put ourselves out there. And then things just started to happen very quickly. There was a TV show in the UK called Skins, and it was this great like teen drama, and we managed to get some music on the show. And then they a different project I had got signed to this TV show, and we wrote some music for the TV show, and then got to tour the country, United Kingdom, like playing these parties. And it was this crazy time. And then Theo and I were like, why don't we do a duo thing, because the band stopped. And then we were like, we miss being in a band. So we put out an advert saying, hey, we want to find a drummer. And this is where Jack comes in the picture. He was coming to uni at Surrey, and we were living in Guildford, just outside London at the time. And yeah, we went for a couple of pints with him at the pub. I think it ended up like 5 or 6 pints. And then we were like, right, didn't even hear him play, but we were like, this is going to be a thing. And the band started. And hey, it's been the last few years, like 5, 6 years, have been a crazy journey of trying different things and working with different people. But it's you know, us, Jack, Theo, and I are the core members, and we've just sort of really stuck with it. And now things seem to be happening, which is very exciting.
So let's unpack a few things. So first of all, why were you guys scared to put yourself out there initially?
I think it's I don't know, like it's so funny. Even the better we do now, like we just did our first ever headline tour, which we sold out. But every night we went on stage not believing that that many people were going to come, and then they started singing our songs, and it's kind of you get imposter syndrome, right? And you're like, nah, like we're not that good. But I think it's scary to write art, to write songs, and to go up on stage and play them. But it's a weird thing. When I'm off stage, I get very nervous. When I'm on stage, I really enjoy it, and I kind of enjoy bouncing off the crowd. But it takes a lot, doesn't it, to put yourself out there and be like, hey, listen to my sad story, or listen to this. So it took us a little while, you know, to get there. But now we're in it. I think it's funny. I think you should always get nervous, right? Or feel it keeps you going. It's like an adrenaline.
I also think it grounds you and humbles you,
Oh
that
yeah,
nerves.
massively, man.
Because I mean, if you don't have
Massively.
those nerves, if you don't have that those butterflies, it's like, and it's you
You're
become
not
blasé
human.
about it. It's like, now I'm just doing this again, then the fans and everyone will pick that up.
Yeah, totally, dude. Like everyone kept saying on this headline tour, they were like loving it because they were like, you guys all just look so shocked and happy. And we were, because we were like, what?
Stop that.
We looked like kids in the sweet shop. We were just like, we didn't understand what was going on. We're like, wow, it's God, this is crazy. So we were just so smiley, which we're trying to be cool, but it was not working.
That's, I like that. Shocked and happy. That's a
It
title of a song. I'm just saying.
is. It is. I have to use that next.
You said you initially started writing songs for other artists. How is that different writing for others compared to when you write for yourself?
It's a very different thing, actually, because maybe I don't lean so much on the personal. I love working with other people. I think it's just, that's my, you know, without jumping ahead to anything, it's like one of my biggest bits of advice for anyone who's trying to get into it. It's just be with other people, watch how other people do it, learn from other people. That's the best way, you know, be in the thick of it, basically. We've had such a lucky experience. We managed to get in some amazing rooms and write some songs with great people. You know, I think we're on like 500 million streams for our songwriting, which is really great. Like we're just managing to get on some really cool records that we love. But you know, writing with people, you get to help tell their story, you get to listen to them, and you get to work with these voices. You know, there's so many singers that I'm like, wow, I could never sing like that. So this is so cool because we can write a song that I could never do. So it's a pleasure being able to write with people that you admire, and you learn new things all the time.
And writing songs for a television show, as you mentioned, for Skins, compared to writing songs for yourself, what's the difference for that?
It's a funny one. People always say to me, like, we've been lucky and had some TV stuff, and even had some stuff in movies, but they're like, oh, you know, you write specifically for that. We actually didn't necessarily write to a brief. We actually just wrote personal songs and things, and that's the ones that people seem to pick up. And friends who work in like Sync, they often just say, like, you know, the people who are really trying to pitch for a car advert for a little folky thing, like, it sounds forced. It doesn't sound like a real artist, but it's like when you actually put your like self into it, people go, okay, I believe this. I can put this on an advert because it feels real. It's not just like some like fake, I'm trying to copy Vance Joy, I'm trying to copy whatever, you know. It's like you are who you are, and they want that sound. So it's funny. I think, again, just being who you are genuinely helps. If you put that into your music, it really helps across the whole board. Like we've only discovered that this year when we started to be really a lot more honest with our songwriting. Instead of just trying to write cool indie anthems or things, we started opening up personally about stuff happening in our lives, and people have related to that music much, much more than anything we've ever done.
Why was that shift, to be more honest, in the writing this year compared to before?
Well, some of the stuff we released this year, we actually wrote a year and a half ago, and sort of during COVID, man.
Okay.
You know, I think that made everyone evaluate things. And during COVID, we ended up going a bit crazy, in the sense that we were doing three sessions a day. We just signed our publishing deal and we were like working super hard. And, you know, in the morning, we'd be writing with someone from Australia. At lunchtime, it was someone from the UK. And in the evening, it was a US artist.
Yeah.
These three sessions a day, we were just burning out. And we kind of like, right, we need to write some stuff for ourselves. And, you know, COVID was quite an isolating time. We were all like this on Zoom with each other in different yes. rooms, trying to write. I was sending Jack, who produces our stuff, like voice notes on my phone, and he would put that into Logic. And I think we weren't touring, and we just sort of tapped into, we were trying to be more honest. And I think because we work with so many people, we were watching a lot of artists who were getting signed from TikTok, signed from these other like platforms, who didn't really know what to write about and didn't have much to write about. And the songs just weren't great, because it was just like, they're like, oh, you know, I just want to write about whatever. And I'm like, well, I don't know. It suddenly felt hollow. And we were like, okay. And then I just started writing some shit. I personally went through some like stuff. I sort of messed my life up a lot. And then, yeah, just put it down. And I mean, I write myself. I mainly like melody is like my strong suit. Then my brother Theo is like the lyricist of the band. So I kind of were just sending him voice notes, and he started picking out words I said and sending these things back. And I don't know, it's just crazy. We put these little ideas on TikTok and suddenly we were getting like a few million clicks on each video. And we were like, what's going on? And it's just like, I think we were starting to be real, and it really changed our opinion of how we should write. We don't need to pretend to be anything. Just be who you are.
Do you feel, without labeling or pointing fingers or names or anything, do you feel that some of those artists that are just signed based off of whatever platform, they just signed off of that, and then because of the platform's perceived being filtered and non-real, when it comes to being real, it's challenging for them?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And it's like, I don't want to judge anyone. I think everyone we've worked with, even if they don't have a lot to say, I'm like, wow, you're super talented, or you're super cool. And I respect everyone, because these kids are a lot younger than me and they get how this stuff works. I'm just like, I don't know. We're managing to work TikTok, but I don't know how. But I think the thing about it is just when you're really young, it's sometimes hard to know what you want to talk about, and you haven't learned how to tap into your feelings or express that. Yeah. So, you know, I think that these guys could be amazing, but it's like, you need to live a little, or you need to go out there and, if I can swear, you need to fuck up, you know, and shit, that really makes it real. So, but that's just my opinion. I mean, it's funny. A lot of these people we work with got these big deals during COVID and after, and I know a lot of them personally have already been dropped. And it's like, it's kind of it's a weird thing. I think the industry just, it can move so quick and jump on these things and then spit you out, chew you up. And just, it's like, yeah, it's a very interesting game. Being the songwriting side, we get to write with all these new artists who just get signed. And then obviously we've got our artist hat on as well. And it's like, you see these two different sides to the business, and it's scary. It's exciting, but scary.
And also the thing is that people's attention spans have gotten so shorter and quicker that the spitting out part is much probably happening faster than it used to, because people's attention spans are like, I'm not interested, you know, like they're then gone. Dude, you know, it's ridiculous.
It's crazy. I guess you kind of have to move with the times, but you know, our fan base, who we love, like they're constantly craving new music, and we could put a song out and it's doing really well, but 3 weeks later they're like, when's the next one? And you're like, oh man, like, can't we let this song breathe? Like, yes. This is a moment. And they're like, no, we need more. And you're like, okay. So I don't know, it's whether it's right or wrong for like the greater picture of what's good for art, I have no idea. But I think, yeah, it's a kind of an exciting time to be trying to make music, because it's kind of like walking in the unknown half the time.
So if you didn't release another song when the fans demanded it, do you think you'd lose them, or you'd allow it to teach them some patience?
Cool. It's a bit of both. Like, I think it's if they're good fans, if they're real fans, they stick around. And that has certainly been true from our experience. But yeah, I think it's also important to be, we're very open with our fans, and we talk to everyone who messages us, and we're like, look, this is where we're at in the process. We don't want to release something else until we feel really good about it, or until the song that's out right now is, you know, had its moment and it's time to shine. So you don't want to be like put under pressure, but at the same time, you know, without your fans, what are you? You aren't much.
So exactly.
It's a hard balance.
Now, you mentioned about the creative process a little bit earlier when you do the melodies, your brother does the lyrics, and Jack does a production. I know you can't speak for the others, but from your perspective, when you're doing the creative process, I know you said you become more honest, but is it easy every time to tap into that? Or is it sometimes difficult and challenging? And when it is challenging, do you let it go or you just surrender and let it flow when it needs to happen?
Yeah, it's a great question. I think we're firm believers if things are happening, our favorite songs and the songs that have done the best for us are the songs that come really easily. And it's something I've read across the board, or any of my friends who I speak to have had like huge hits in the songwriting world. They're like the ones that wrote the songs that wrote themselves in like 5 to 30 minutes, but just like they are gems. And I think that's something we hold on to. So if something's flowing and it's really good, we dive into that and just see where it goes. But there are ones you need to spend time on. And I think lyrically is the big one, because, you know, the story side of things is so important. I mean, for us anyway, as a band, sometimes that comes very quickly. Sometimes it takes time. You know, I remember reading an interview with Wesley Schultz from The Lumineers, who were like, you know, we're huge fans of. And there's some songs he's super honest in, but some songs he goes and finds stories in the newspapers about an interesting couple or someone he's met who tells him a story, and he turns that into a song. And I think that's also a really healthy approach, because you're still telling a story or someone's truth. It's just, it doesn't necessarily have to like come from your own experiences, which is quite hard to constantly be like, this is my experience, you know?
Yeah. But also the thing is that just by observing those other stories and perceiving them and allowing them to process in your being, that's an experience on itself. So you taking your process and experience and giving it its own angle, and those words come through.
Yeah, I love that. That's a really beautiful way of looking at it. I mean, for me, you know, as a songwriter, as an artist, you're a storyteller, right? You're out there, you're living, you're seeing things, and you're telling stories. And whether that's your own stories or something you've watched or whatever, it's why it's what our favorite art form. It's so beautiful. You've got 3 minutes to tell a story, and it's like, wow, let's do it. Let's see what we can do.
I like this element. I'm not sure if you're aware of NLP, neuro-linguistic programming. So people either hear songs as in auditory, the words, or when they hear a song, they get the picture of it, which is visual, or they get the feeling, which is kinesthetic. So it's audio, visual, kinesthetic. And we each dominant in one and semi-dominant in another one in different situations. So when you hear songs from yourself or other artists, is it the words you hear? Is it the feeling, or do you get the picture?
Oh, I think it's the feeling for me. Like, I really feel it. And then maybe like the secondary one is the picture, because I see stuff. But for me, it's a feeling. Like, I hear a song, like some of my favorite songs, they come on and I just go like, like, I don't know, something. It's like the warmest of warms. I can't explain it. It's just like someone's given you a big hug, even if it's a really sad song. Two of my top 10 songs are probably like Yesterday by the Beatles. Mm-hmm. Every time that comes on in my AirPods, unbelievable. Or God Only Knows by Beach Boys. Just like, it's just such a stroke of genius songwriting, where I'm just like, it almost cripples me, where I'm like, I have to sit and listen to the whole thing and go, how did they do that? Yeah. Wow. Like, for me as a songwriter, when I'm listening to something that I love, it's actually a really enjoyable experience, because I'm not thinking about how they did it. I'm just enjoying the song.
Yes.
Which is rare. You know, often I listen to something and go, okay, that's kind of cool. Or I like that snare, or I love this, or I love that chord progression. But sometimes when the songs are so great, it just takes over and you're like, it's like a drug.
But I mean, that's maybe sometimes better, because then you can be out of the creative mind and just enjoy instead of always analyzing.
Yeah, which is such a joy, because, you know what it's like being in that industry or being around these people. It's just like, it's music all the time, so you sometimes forget to enjoy music.
Yeah.
It's nice to go to a gig even and just be like, not playing, and just enjoy a gig. Like, wow, I get why everyone's coming to gigs. It's wicked.
And what is a snare for those listeners who do not know what that is?
Oh, like a snare drum. It's just like, you'll hear every single song is around the kick and the snare, maybe hi-hats on the drum kit. So yeah, like, I'm just listening to the sound of a particular snare where I'm like, wow, that really cuts through. I'm like, that is so cool. We need to try and make that sound.
I know if I had to ask you this question in 3 days, 3 hours, 3 months, I recognize and understand that your answer will be different every time. I'm not saying favorite, but if you had to push play to 5 songs by other artists, once we finish this conversation, what would be those 5 songs and by whom?
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, I'm going to use some of my earlier answers here.
Yes.
Yesterday by the Beatles, because that is absolutely just one of my all-time faves. And God Only Knows by the Beach Boys just really gets to me emotionally. Another old one that I love is Desperado by the Eagles. Love it. I love the Eagles because of the harmonies. Obviously, we're a harmony band. And then stuff that's like, I say more current, maybe. I love Noah Kahan's latest record. The whole album, to pick a favorite song is really hard. But for me on that record, maybe Northern Attitude, which is, I think, what the, I don't know, the album's called Stick Season, but yeah, Northern Attitude by Noah Kahan. And number five, wow, if I had to listen to something, I'm probably going to pick something by Coldplay because they're like one of our biggest inspirations. I'll go something really down the middle. I'd say Yellow by Coldplay,
Okay,
which is just
cool.
like an unbelievable song. So yeah, it's slightly different, varied, but
Nice mix. Cool. So the podcast is listened to throughout the world. So as a final message to the listening audience, what would you like to say?
thank you for listening. Thank you for listening to my voice. Hope to see you at a show sometime and share a hug or a beer. Tours is very much like a band who is there to like chat. So if anyone's going through anything, having a hard time, please reach out because we know what that's like. Or if you want to ask for any advice or whatever, or if you just want to insult the way I sounded on this podcast, then please do drop us a message. But yeah, thank you for listening and we hope to see you one day.